services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam and exterminate, and here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Where the hell have you been?
Never mind. And Mary Lang.
Any remarks about my hips will not be appreciated.
And this week, me, Kirby, and Mary are going to do a commentary on Into the Dalek, which is
the
latest episode in that fab adventure series, Doctor Who. Right, are we ready? Should I give the listeners a chance to queue up the episode? You would have thought they would have got, you know, queue it up. That means get it ready, and so we can all do a countdown to the play. But I would have thought they can actually pause the podcast, rewind it a little bit, and then rejoin us when they have queued up the episode.
Absolutely.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Right, I'm going to assume they've already done that. So, are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose.
3, 2, 1, play. Right, I've got a spaceship zooming around some planets. Is that what you've got? Oh, some asteroids.
No, those are asteroids. That got a real Star Wars feeling from that.
Yeah, I've got a bit.
I'm in
Star
a
Wars
ship and the girl is trying to wake up her brother.
But isn't he dead? Oh, he's not dead yet. Yeah. Isn't it dead yet?
He's getting better.
No. Bring out your
master,
dead.
Master.
Yes. Clearly, obviously, a Dalek spaceship. We can see that from this.
What's her surname is Blue, and then we've got Danny Pink later. Uh-huh. What's with the colors for surnames? Is there what's going on? Is this
We have Stephen Pink Moffat and Blue. In charge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's there was other series in which characters had colors for surnames, isn't it?
Yeah, but Pink and Blue are like traditional boy-girl stuff, and I'm just wondering what if we're being deliberate with doing that.
Anyway, so this Dalek spaceship obviously then says just exterminate because they're going to be, you know. And then we're looking up from the underneath the TARDIS at some controls, and it's because it's not us looking up, it's actually this woman whose name was what? Blue?
Journey Blue,
that's it.
Yeah.
Yes, stupid name. But it's a,
no, it's not.
It's like River Song. It's a sort of Moffat type name.
Yeah,
it?
It's a Moffat name. How true.
Don't like her
that
haircut.
That means she's probably someone else. And Journey Blue stands for something else.
Yeah, it probably does.
She'll show up again.
She's Danny Pink or she's Courtney or something.
No, it's got to be some other reference to Blue and another it'd be like Trip Hazard. No. Trip Turquoise or Trip, yeah, another version of Blue. Be some sort of silly thing like that.
I wonder if she's related to Courtney Pink, who's another character we'll be meeting later.
Well, I don't know, but if the name's Blue and it's a name like River Song, it's actually Melody Pond, then there must be an alternative name like that. But wouldn't that be
anyway?
Yes,
Kirby. How do you know we're going to meet a Pink later?
I have my sources.
Stop, honestly. If there was a quiz this week, you'd get points deducted. In fact, about 10 points deducted for trying to insert spoilers. Anyway,
we've already met her. We just don't know her. They haven't said her surname. It's that teenage girl that we've seen in both of the first two episodes.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Anyway, this woman has landed or materialized in the TARDIS, which is what the Doctor says he materialized a TARDIS around her, did he not?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Mm. And she wants to kill him, and he says, well, and then where would you be?
Yeah, this has got me thinking. Yeah. This has got me thinking. Does she sort of like appear a bit like the character in the previous story did in Missy's sort of area? Now, is that because this area of Missy's heaven, as she calls it, is in fact part of her TARDIS because she's actually the master and she's just materialising around these people?
Don't know. That's my theory.
Before they die,
that she's the master. Yeah,
but I just thought,
I've seen that theory.
No, but the fact is, the way they cut the scene as if it was a similar. You expected her to wake up, and she was in that garden or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that. Well, mind you, the master didn't have a TARDIS, but maybe he got one from the Time Lords. We don't know.
Now, with what's going on now, I've got some problems with it. I mean, they want to kill the doctor, and then they take the doctor. Then they take the doctor to be the doctor to their patient, and then somehow, instead of forcing him to immediately see the Dalek and treat it, he's back with going to pick up Clara at Cole Hill.
Yeah, they just obviously
it's just,
cut.
It's just weird.
That is a bit strange, but it does make sense if you watch it. And I've only watched this once. Now, once and a bit now, because obviously this is
now, are these people, are these people related to the people in charge of the Tesselector because of the shrinking technology?
Could be. I like that bit. But anyway, carry on.
So this is a medical ship, but they're not using it as a medical ship, right?
Correct. They make that. They say that.
Now, okay. When he sees the Dalek, and it's very Eccleston Dalek scene, and it's also very similar.
I expected the same reaction. Yeah.
But it's similar to also the scene where we have Soufflé Girl Dalek. It was the two scenes sort of married up together very nicely. And very confusingly, for that matter.
Yes.
Then we get a title sequence, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
A title sequence, which I like, but I liked the fan-made one better.
Yeah, yes. I like both of them. I think it's a nice amalgamation of the two.
Yeah. I like using the eyebrows.
I do, too. Instead of his whole face, yeah.
Anyway, so yeah.
If Danny is also the sort of drill instructor, but he's a new...
He's
a new teacher. How did this... I mean, all of a sudden he's doing this. He's organized this whole thing. He's in charge of this whole thing. And Clara hasn't met him yet?
Yeah, I find that odd, too, because the kids all have T-shirts to match. And, yeah, how long has this been going on?
Yes. And the other thing, of course, is that he obviously is... He's going to end up in Mrs. Heaven somewhere along the line, isn't he? Because...
I don't know.
It seems that...
I don't know.
I get this feeling that you get these little characters that suddenly appear. Obviously, he's all right for this episode, but I reckon in a future episode, he's going to end up dying and appearing in Mrs. Heaven. I'm just predicting this.
I'm suspicious that he's going to end up on the TARDIS.
That girl right there in the
window. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
That's Courtney.
Yes. What, that's a character
girl?
Name? No,
the
black
girl.
Girl
or the, no.
The black girl.
The black girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that she's his sister, but I don't know.
His sister? Oh, his sister. You mean the teacher's sister?
Danny Pink's sister, yes.
Well, now, aren't we getting ahead of ourselves?
Now you've got me, because I didn't really put two and two together with the name Danny Pink, because obviously I've only seen this once. So now,
we don't know that girl's name is Courtney Pink yet.
Oh.
So there isn't two to put together.
Well, I do.
Kirby.
Well, and that's why I said, are we getting ahead of ourselves here?
He is. This is the problem with watching these episodes, you know, these
leaked
advanced
episodes.
Yeah, it causes problems.
I haven't seen any further than yes, I saw the leak, but I haven't seen the leaks after this. It's just information I've picked up online.
From people who have
seen
the limit.
Now, the tear that comes down his face tells me there's a background that we're going to be picking up on at some point.
Yes, obviously there is, yes. Yes.
Oh, master.
Yes.
This story has this theme of eyes. There's close-ups of eyes everywhere, and there's eyes in background. There's eyes on her shirt.
Yeah.
And I'll point out every once in a while. I'm just gonna say eyes.
Eyes. What? Eyes bucket challenge. Eyes bucket challenge.
So there you've got some eyes.
Yeah, well, obviously, they're looking at each other, so they're going to need eyes for that.
No, her shirt. Look at her shirt.
Okay, there's some eyes on it.
I didn't really notice her shirt until she was coming through into the Dalek, and then because we could see it close up, then I could see what was on her shirt. But before that, I didn't notice.
But there's this theme of eyes going through this entire story.
Ah.
Okay, all right.
They had the Dalek's eye, didn't you, at the beginning?
Yes.
Ah. Mm.
And they go through the Dalek's eye, which is quite clever. We haven't seen that bit yet. I'm just saying.
Haven't seen it yet.
No.
Anyway, spoilers.
And Clara's pretty forward. She sees a guy she likes, and boy, she doesn't stop.
And then as soon as the doctor appears, she completely forgets about him. But the thing is, right, and that's another thing, you know, why would she... If she keeps from dropping her off at home to go to school, why didn't she just sort of stay in the TARDIS? I don't understand this. You know, having to go
She's teaching.
earn a living when you don't really need to earn a living.
I love the scene where he hits his head on the desk.
Well, that started to happen with Amy and Rory in the, I think in season 7, the doctor was always kind of dropping them off at home. So I think they've continued that to kind of let you think the companion has a life of their own.
I don't see the point when, you know, you wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't want to go back to the co-op if the doctor had just said, oh, come on, let's go off and go around the universe.
Really?
Yeah, okay, as long as you drop me off at work.
Travel
every
the stars or work the co-op? Tough choice.
Yeah, exactly. Or just work full stop, you know, travel the stars. Haven't got all your food and stuff on the TARDIS. Why do you need to, you know, go to work? Yes, Kirby.
I'm actually commenting on what we're seeing rather than going off on tangents.
Yes, well, that's what we do.
Really? Really? No spoilers or anything?
In the making of, in the extra that was posted by BBC.
I need to.
They showed them filming where he was hitting his head on the desk, and he did it so much that he ended up having to use an ice pack. And you can visibly, you can see a bump on his forehead.
I do like the doctor's arrival in the story. It's all good with the coffee and that. You sent me for coffee here 3 weeks ago in
this
Gaza.
This doctor has such precise control over this TARDIS. He can land it exactly wherever he wants to.
Mary?
Which is interesting. Yes. Seeing.
Can I just point out something before you? Kirby.
Yes.
Kirby.
Yes.
That obviously Master. The doctor's just recently regenerated, and before he regenerated, he'd had about a few hundred years, in fact, of life to consider certain operation skills of the TARDIS. So he's very much more skilled with
Master.
TARDIS operation than he was prior to the Day of the Doctor. Yes,
I would like to believe that.
Master, one of the first things he said after kidneys, I don't like this, the color, is, do you know how to fly this thing?
Yes, because he'd only just regenerated.
Uh-huh, that's straight out of Rhys Pardon's excuses.
No, it isn't. It's true.
Okay.
It's more or less a similar scene to when he became the 11th Doctor, and he said,
we're
crashing Geronimo.
Showed a lot more control. He showed a lot more control.
All the doctors have had good control and bad control. We'll see if it continues.
Well, yes, indeed. But as Moffat's in control of this particular series, I would imagine it should probably continue in this series. I don't really care when we Doctor Who if it's not 1 minute the TARDIS is easy to control, the next minute it isn't.
Yeah.
Yes, Mary?
Yeah. Oh, no, there have been some comments online about how cold and impersonal this 12th Doctor is, but a scene like the one we just saw where he's asking her, you know, am I a good man?
Yeah.
And where he said in the last episode that he'd made a lot of mistakes and he wanted to do something about it. I think he wants to be a better interactor with the universe than he's been.
Yes. Well, I do like this scene with the Dalek. It's quite similar, isn't it, to the Eccleston meeting.
I don't know. Eccleston was all over the wall.
Yeah, but it's the hatred that the Doctor sort of shows, and the sort of mistrust. Oops, everyone's gone quiet. So they're just watching that eye. Yeah, go on.
From this point on, I don't get it. I don't get. If they were ready to kill, bag, and dispose of the Doctor, why are they hanging on to a Dalek? And then it might be malfunctioning, but why do they care? Why don't they just shoot it through an airlock and get rid of it?
I think the idea is
I don't understand why we need to go in and fix it.
I think the idea is it's perfect espionage and that they've got a Dalek. They can sort of examine it and see where its weaknesses are to a certain extent, so it would make sense if you're in some sort of battle situation, you can take a prisoner, you know, if it's a different species, you'd want to, you know, keep it for reasons of discovering its weaknesses.
Okay, but then why do they want to jettison the Doctor so quick?
Because they know, they think the Doctor's human, I suppose, and they know all about humans.
They don't care about humans,
Humans like killing each other and themselves, apparently. So Clara's sort of meets the Dalek, and she's sort of totally sort of unperturbed by it. You know, she's quite happy, big beaming smile and bright eyes, which is quite interesting.
But now, other than the episode where she is a Dalek, have we seen Clara with the Doctor encountering Daleks before this?
In The Day of the Doctor, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay, because she doesn't seem a bit surprised, but curious as to what this is.
Didn't the papal mainframe, or whatever it was called, change allegiances from the Silence to the Daleks or something like that? I can't remember now.
Maybe because I didn't really care about the Day of the Doctor, I didn't pay close attention.
No, but I don't like this woman's hairstyle, by the way. I think it's an awful hairstyle. Looks like someone stuck a hat on her and trimmed around the edges. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. She's a soldier.
I just want to say something.
Oh, dear.
Oh, for how long?
Don't be lasagna.
Okay.
What, you weren't listening? It's
I know what it's about. I know.
Anyway, do you know when we were watching this scene, me and she, who must be a babe, before she decided to retire and go to bed, she thought, oh, hang on, this is actually Clara, the souffle girl TARDIS. TARDIS, Dalek, sorry. She thought it was her. Then before, you know, it had ended up in the asylum. So she thought it was that Dalek.
Oh,
the Clara
okay.
Dalek.
Okay. Oh,
it wasn't, obviously, but that's what we thought it was leading to. And then, of course, we get this scene of, which reminded me of that, was that film called An Incredible Journey when they...
Yeah.
Was it called?
Fantastic Voyage.
Nearly right.
Which is why the doctor earlier said, fantastic idea for a movie, terrible idea for a proctologist.
Yeah, but I do
like it. Was referencing Fantastic Voyage.
Yeah. So anyway, they get sort of carried, they've been miniaturized, and they're being carried across the room and about to be inserted into the Dalek's eye.
They seem too big for later on.
Do they?
I don't know.
How do you get a sense of scale that they seem too big?
Go on, this is interesting.
When they, like right now, they just showed them being put into the eye.
Yeah, and, so they're smaller than
they
the
go,
eye.
Yeah. Right, but then when they look down inside the Dalek later, it seems like it's they're smaller than they were. I don't know.
What about
I could be wrong.
This bit when he's sort of climbing in through the eye.
I love this bit.
It's
an
excellent
effect.
It's very James Bond. James Bond title sequence esque.
Yes.
Just imagine doing this scene with a little bit of For Your Eyes Only playing over in the background.
Mm-hmm.
For Your Eyes Only, Kirby.
And this is where I first noticed that the print on her shirt was.
And
eyes.
That's James Bondy, that little tunnel thing. Yes, it is. Ding, 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 ding. And he's going to turn around and shoot at the camera, and a load of blood will come down the screen. Anyway, so this is great. You know, they're actually inside the Dalek. And there's two things which reminded me of. The Fantastic Voyage, as you called it. And, of course, the one with the giant prawn, which is...
oh, yes!
Invisible Enemy, I think it was called.
Yes. Master?
Yes.
No, that's where K-9 first showed up.
Okay. But yeah, I do like this. Now, this is what I was about. One of the things about this story that I was highly impressed with. This is a completely new scenario, you know, being inside a Dalek and having an episode or an adventure inside a Dalek, which I was highly impressed with the originality of this particular concept. What did you think?
Generally, I think they did a better job with this than they did Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Yes.
Because what they had going on inside this Dalek was way more believable, except when they hit that nasty pool of stuff. I didn't buy that at all.
Okay, well, I'll come to the
nasty
pool.
It must have been associated with a space whale.
Oh, yes, I remember that was similar to that scene.
Yeah, that's what I thought of. Yeah, was that.
Yeah, and funny,
but,
that
I mean,
was
Daleks
episode two of that series,
consume
too.
People. They don't consume people. They just shoot them dead.
Oh, okay. Good point.
And yet, this whole business that's about to happen with the antibodies is actually breaking that soldier down and sending him to that pool of stuff.
Right, but Daleks don't consume people.
I know.
No, we just missed a bit where the Doctor calls him Rusty. Calls the Dalek Rusty.
I think when he I didn't like
that whole consuming thing at all, and the antibodies reminded me of the Tesselector again.
Yeah. It could be that it's that, you know, technology. It could be a link, a deliberate link. This could be a slightly further back in the timeline of the Tesselector people that you don't know. I mean, it's obviously, you know, you say about the antibodies, there must be some sort of link. It's too much of a coincidence, isn't it?
Master?
Yeah.
Eyes.
Yeah, eyes.
Eyes.
Yes.
Eyes, what were you looking at?
The Tesselector. I mean, the little...
The antibodies. Okay, yeah, you're right.
I know. So we're going to have another episode of Big Brother coming up sometime during this series, because that was all to do with eyes, wasn't it?
Now, this was a very strange and somewhat cruel, I thought.
What did he give him to eat? I thought it would be something that would protect him.
No, it's a tracker. It's how he tracked where they disintegrated him and sent him to the slime.
Yeah.
That's how he tracked him, was what he gave him to swallow.
Yeah, so
basically,
okay.
The Doctor killed that bloke, but he said he was going to die anyway.
Yeah.
So he decided to do that, speed it up a bit and save their lives as well. But some people wouldn't have liked that, but you know, it made sense to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you're not happy with it, Kirby.
No.
No.
Well, I'm not either, but I mean, it makes sense. I don't like it, but it makes sense.
No, he's cleverer than everybody else, and he's the Doctor. He's also fought a war somewhere along the line, so sometimes he has to go into battle mode, and that's the Doctor in battle mode.
So later on, when he sends Clara in there to do something, he doesn't even know what she's going to do. He just says, be clever.
Yeah. Well, he knows Clara, doesn't he? And trusts her. She is clever, though, isn't she? She's a school teacher. How she got that job?
Lot of trust to put in somebody.
Hmm. So, yeah, they're all jumping down this tube now.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure we're all in the same area. It's a bit theme parky. The Doctor doesn't seem to like it.
And by the way, the Doctor's laughing on the way
doesn't
down.
He look
the
like others he are laughing.
Yeah, he's having a good time.
Oh. All the others are screaming, and
screaming,
he's laughing.
And he's like, yay!
Yeah, and he gets his brand new suit ruined, although it does dry very
quickly.
And
then there's that, you know, thing that happens in all movies and TV shows. They land in this slimy muck, but 2 minutes later they're all dry and looking clean.
That's the point I was just making, yes.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, so I don't know. This doesn't look as horrible as the stuff that which was essentially sick that they landed in the whale.
Yeah.
But it still looks pretty... yucky. Lots of greenish sort of lighting, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Journey?
Journey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Journey there is basically, I agree with her and the anger about what the Doctor did with that soldier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it has to be addressed, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
But, Kirby, eyes. Eyes. There, look, the Doctor's got some eyes.
Eyes.
The Doctor there has got eyes. Kirby's just pointing about the eyes. Oh, look, she's got some eyes, Kirby. He's gone very quiet.
I'm ignoring him.
Oh, here I am trying to figure out what you're doing. Well,
yeah, the now in the Dalek's tummy at the moment. And, of course, I haven't got to that bit yet, so I'll try and hold back. But obviously, I remember what this is leading up to in relation to the storyline when they fix the Daleks. So. But we'll talk about that when we get to it.
And they're crawling through that red tunnel.
Yeah. Changing the lighting from green to red now.
Green to red, and this is when she says, you know, any remarks about my hips will not be appreciated.
That was very Sarah Janey. Right, so crackling, what's that noise? Are you wearing a Geiger counter? Standard battle equipment. That's just low level. I couldn't read that out quick enough. Oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to be reading it, am I? Yeah, I'm just trying to sort of pad it out because they're just sort of creeping around.
They're just moving around and discovering
the
radio.
One thing I was thinking, would a soldier really want to have, you might want to know the radioactivity, but would you want it to be audible if you were sneaking up to an enemy or something?
You probably wouldn't.
I don't know.
No, the Doctor's suit's dried out, though, Mary.
Yeah,
so
yeah, they're all
okay.
Dried out now. Yeah. They all look like they've just had a shower.
Yeah. That's right. Is this the...
Yeah. I was going to say, then, you know, the doctor has his, you know, magic screwdriver again that he's
healing. Yeah, but that's a great shot. Before we talk about the screwdriver, it's a great shot when they pan down from above. You see the inside of the Daleks' little ball things.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that shot. That's really, really
okay,
cool.
I guess they're keeping things. Oh, by the way. They are keeping. I do agree now that the scale is correct.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a relief. I hate to think that you were going to go through this and you're going to be, you know, out of sync because the scale is wrong.
So, yeah. I like the little screen the Daleks are watching as well. That's nice to actually get to see.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially what the Daleks can see, although when normally they show a shot of what the Daleks looking at, you see a strange graphic with a circular thing in the middle.
Right. And
We see that later. That's looking out of the Dalek's eye. Mm. And in this case, the Dalek is looking at internal scanners inside of himself. So you wouldn't see the circular thing you see out of his eye.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so, all this is sort of padding out because it does rather lead up to the Doctor fixing the Dalek, which then, of course, turns it back into a Dalek, really, and turns it, you know,
yeah,
mad.
It's like, why do you want to fix it?
Yeah, they obviously didn't realise that was
going to happen. If they discovered that was the problem, leave him alone.
Yeah, so Doctor's cleverness is rather sort of depending how the script goes because, you know, 1 minute is really, really clever. The next minute, he always does something rather stupid. And this is another one of those traditional. There's the crack. The crack on the wall there.
I'll say it right now. I did not like this story.
He's not paying any attention to me. Look, the crack. Kirby, crack.
Right. I did not like this story.
He's fixing the crack in space and time.
I thought there was too much of this.
They're hitting you over the head with the eye thing. Is that what you're saying?
No, why did they want to go and fix it? Why?
Yeah, my question.
Why did they want to go and fix it?
I don't understand. Why fix it?
There's all of this padding, too much wandering around inside the Dalek. Of course, it's called Into the Dalek, so might as well, but still. I just didn't like the story.
Well, to me, this is a story in search of a premise. If the basic premise is they're going to fix this Dalek, my question is why?
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's a good point. Mm-hmm. And obviously, having only seen it once, I was just absorbed in the scenery and the adventure of it. But the logic of behind why they would do what they're doing sort of escaped me because I was just enjoying Capaldi so much.
Enjoyed it better the second time I saw it.
Mm. And of course,
and you notice whenever they're shooting at the Dalek. They're shooting at its base, which is its toughest part.
And
I say, why don't you just go for the head? That's because in all the later scenes when they're exploding all the Daleks, it's all the heads that are exploding.
Well, it's good they shoot at its lower part because obviously the Doctor, Clara, and Journey are all inside the Dalek, and they don't really want to get killed off at this stage.
Well, we don't know. Well, they're way down deep. They're down inside. Yeah. I mean, they are in the lower part.
This is all from reminiscent of Dalek, isn't it? This scene. I think that's they wanted to do this scene, to pay homage to that particular scene. And to be fair, this is the first real time that a Dalek has felt sort of semi-scary since then. And I think they've fairly well recaptured it with that particular scene where the Dalek does go back to being a normal Dalek. And they've recaptured that sort of, oh dear, we're in trouble sort of feeling.
Master?
Yes?
Debbie Melrose just linked to a picture on Facebook that says has a picture of the Doctor and says, when I find myself in times of trouble, the 12th Doctor comes to me speaking words of wisdom, don't be lasagna.
Okay.
So the whole, you can't get away from don't be lasagna.
Yes, we can.
Okay, if you say so. So, anyway, yeah, so there's...
Yeah,
the Doctor glossed over the fact that the Doctor was really annoyed with himself when he realised he'd fixed the Dalek.
He was fascinated by the idea of fixing it, though.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, though, I mean, any of the Doctor's incarnations to have the opportunity of getting inside a Dalek would take that opportunity up, wouldn't they? Not necessarily to fix it, but to learn more about it. And
I can understand them wanting to go inside to explore it, to find out about it. But fix it? No.
There must be something we've missed. You know, there must be something we've missed in relation to why they seem to think they should go inside it. And this, you know, wasn't it a thing that obviously the Dalek's mad and thinks that all Daleks are evil, but it was a bit ill. And they were thought they were just fixing it so they could cure the sickness, but still retain that thing about the Dalek wanting to kill all Daleks.
Yeah,
I think there was something about that in it, but I'm not 100% sure. So might have to watch it a third time with the sound up.
Dalek story without this.
Yes,
I think they really wanted to get inside the Dalek, and they had to think of a way of creating this sort of idea.
In some ways, it's like going inside the TARDIS and during the center. Although it was more interesting.
Yeah,
but it was just a premise.
Yeah,
we've always wanted to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Journey to the Center really didn't work because the inside of that TARDIS was not at all what any of us imagined.
And of course, they had to turn the Dalek into something menacing again to create those sort of those scenes of it going around, you know, looking like it was going to be in what you call it, indestructible, and just go around killing everybody. Mm-hmm.
From Dalek before with Rose and the Ninth Doctor,
which is one of the best Dalek stories ever.
Well, yeah, I would agree. But the organic part of the Dalek was right at the top because remember he asks Rose to lift his hood, so he could view the sun or the sun could shine on him. Mm. Whereas this Dalek head, I don't know where it is. You know, the organic part seems to be way.
Well, it all opened up, didn't it, in a sort of strange way, and it was sort of just below the head, I thought. I can't remember. Well,
if you go through canon, they move around where the living Dalek is.
Mm. Okay. Anyway, so
by the way, they're crawling on the floor instead of climbing
it. Are they? Destroying the illusion.
We saw the extra.
No, I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, but if you look at the way her hair's not really hanging in a way that it would do if she was crawling up a thingy. Anyway, hang on, I've got a text.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do when you cheat how things really are.
Sorry, I'm just reading my text message. Right, yeah, so what did you say, Mary?
Oh, I said there's only so much that you can cheat on something that isn't really the way it is.
Yes. I'll tell you what, trying to gloss over this little scene of an argument between the Doctor and Journey. Loved Peter Capaldi in this. Just wanted to say that, really.
Yes, I loved his entire performance. This entire episode, I loved him.
That's a great shot.
That doesn't mean I like the story.
No, right. But it's a great shot looking up at these scenes do. They are very good. They have actually managed to, you know, convince us to a certain degree that they have been shrunk down to do these adventures. Now, it also reminded me slightly of Planet of Giants, because obviously having, you know, I was thinking at the time, I'm surprised they haven't done a more of the shrinking down the main characters in the story. They've only done it twice prior to this one. Oh, no, they had the Tesseract, didn't they? Yeah, I suppose they've done it a few times. I'd forgotten about that. But
the extra, we find out that Peter Capaldi came to the filming of this scene that we're about to see, the Daleks coming in to that warehouse in the ship, because he just wanted to see a Dalek attack. He wasn't scheduled to be there. He went in to watch.
Yes, it's cool, isn't it? It's a good shot, a good scene. That little I love the way they've created that. Anyway, so there's lots of dialogue-y bits. This is very difficult to commentate on when it's just sort of people sort of glaring at each other.
My recording doesn't have subtitles, so
mine does. So we don't want to read through them.
Mine does.
Okay, Madame et Monsieur, et voici longtemps.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. I will do something Damn well better. She locks her weapon. Oh, that sounds... I bet she does. she fires. She fires again. No! This is really good, isn't it? This filling in the gap. Anyway, I still think that woman's eyes. Hairstyle is terrible. Oh, arrgh. Well, it... Arrgh, bucket challenge. Yeah, so this is sort of leading
When they were filming this, the climbing that... When they were filming, they were supposed to be hanging from that and going up to the top.
Yeah.
The little prop broke.
Did it?
That they're hanging on. They were fine, but they just, because they were being hung on the wire.
The guy says, just fake it.
Yes.
Pretend you're hanging Gretchen's, on it.
Gretchen's just got done in. Is this where she appears at?
Yes.
So she appears. And now you know that we're going to see her again somewhere in the series. She appears in Missy's garden. Which could be her TARDIS. I mean, it could be a cloister room, really, couldn't it? But apparently it's the room from The Girl Who Waited. Sorry, the garden from The Girl Who Waited.
Yes.
But it could be.
Oh, this is the fun part, being able to guess at who Missy is and all that. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I still think it's probably the Master. Or
that's maybe, my theory, too.
Maybe the Master's sister.
Well, I mean, they couldn't have a female doctor, so I think they decided to go female with the Master.
It's either the Valyard or it's Clara.
Or the Dream Lord, but in woman form.
The Dream Lord, I believe, was a version of the Valyard.
You believe that, do you? Even though it wasn't mentioned. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, okay.
I said that when we did that story.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Trouble is, nothing has come along yet to verify that, has it?
Sloane's a Scottish name. Aye.
Yes.
See you.
Aye.
It
used to be a Slohan.
Did it?
Yes.
A Slitheen?
No, a Slohan.
Oh, a Slitheen. Yeah, okay. Right, so they're this corridor here, when they're looking out for those sort of V-shaped sort of slotty things, you know, I would have thought, that's some... A bit like more like the Dalek, the paradigm Dalek sort of bits. You know, they have that sort of V-shaped thing around the head bit. You know, the way those are designed.
Yes,
but it isn't. It just made me think. Oh, Sorry.
When she climbs in there and starts touching the stuff, she should have shut down parts of it, and eventually it would start saying "built for two."
Mary. Did Kirby break up for you as well, then?
Oh, yeah. He's breaking up a lot for me.
I thought it was just me.
What? Did you hear what I said?
Doesn't
only
matter.
Partially.
We can't reboot, unfortunately, because we were doing a commentary. It's one of the benefits, obviously.
I said that I expected her... I expected Clara to go in there and start shutting things down, and then eventually the Dalek would start singing "A Bicycle Built for Two."
Oh, like hell, huh?
Yes.
Okay, if you say so. Yeah, so I know something's going on because the doctor shouts out. Is it the doctor says, "Are you okay, Clara?" No, it's a Journey, isn't it? I don't know. Oh, look at that little effect of the little light going down the tubes. Yes. I'm sorry. Oh, you're getting wrapped up in the storyline. Oh, eyes.
Well,
Kirby, eyes
no,
on
I'm
a, on
not
a shirt.
I'm not in sync with you at the moment.
Are you not?
I have to keep buzzing through commercials.
Oh, what's that? Oh. I'll tell you where we're at then. The doctor is now sort of... Alicia's just bursting in.
Shut up, magic.
Alicia's just bursting in.
Hi.
What's the matter with don't you dare sneeze?
Now, okay, Master. Why did the antibodies not attack at this point when it started?
Yeah, I was hoping you were
going to
tell me
it.
That. Shut up, Alicia. Gonna blow your nose or something.
It's an oversight that I disliked.
Yes, well, I didn't. Maybe they just. Would you get out of it?
Well, the antibodies only come out when the Dalek is hurt, and nothing that Clara does.
A little cloud
of
germs, that girl, you know.
No. When the doctor slices into one of those nerve things, like he just did.
Maybe I didn't notice that he did slice into a nerve thing.
There you go. Sorry,
it was just a few seconds ago.
The germ monster has just emptied the room and just coughed and sneezed all over the place. And now just deliberately sneezed in here and then gone off into the other room. She's always got some illness. It's just a just to, you know, I talked about the realm of contamination, which is her room. Yeah, I know. So don't mind. You'd have to agree with me. And it's not really surprising that she's always ill. Right. Yeah, this is quite a good scene. Yeah, what do you reckon that little thing, the Dalek's eye? Because they sort of do a thing to it to try and make it look like it's sort of going what is mad for a Dalek, but sane for us. Oh, everybody's gone quiet because they probably all agree with me.
I just got a text from Julia.
What's that got to do with it?
It says, cookie jars, Jack's vortex manipulator on wrist, Oedipus plush, and stress sonics.
Total nonsense.
See, look at the eye there, look, Kirby. It was all clearing. And then little twinkle.
And look behind him there. Yeah, that star being born looks like an eye.
You're a bit obsessed with these eyes, aren't you?
Yes, he is.
There's no eyes in Doctor Who, but there is an eye in Into the Dalek. Introthedalek. But there is an eye in it somewhere. Anyway, right, right. So what's happening here then? All right.
So I'm watching him join the nerves.
Yeah,
He doesn't get attacked by the antibodies.
No, he doesn't, because he's the Doctor.
Says, I'm part of you.
That's right, because their minds get joined, don't they? That's right. Uh-huh.
This reminds me of the story. Story where the
11th Doctor's mind gets joined with the Cyberman.
Yeah.
But he doesn't sort of go half Dalek, does he? Like the Doctor goes all half Cyberman in that particular episode.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, go on, Kirby, because I'm just watching this scene. I was enjoying that. Sorry. Never mind about the blooming eyes. What minute it's been talking French. We've been going on about eyes now. Yes, we see the eye.
Excuse me.
Yes. Right, so, hatred. I see your hatred. No, no, no.
Yeah,
these are little...
We didn't plan on that.
Scenes of previously filmed episodes of Doctor Who, the Daleks and stuff.
Yes.
Aren't they, Kirby?
Yes, I haven't had a chance to figure out which episodes they were yet.
Oh, here we go. I'm not bothered about what episodes are in. I just wanted you to confirm that I was right.
Thank goodness there's no info text, otherwise we would know.
I know. I really want info text.
I'll tell you what's the funniest thing about this is, you know, that when the Paradigm Daleks... Magic's just trying to dig himself a little den behind me.
So now he's going and exterminating all the other Daleks.
Yeah, but when they did the Paradigm Daleks, and they were trying to get all those Daleks to destroy themselves because they wanted to bring in the new Paradigm Daleks, and of course that was the only thing that happened to them. And they went back to this design after all, which is just as well because this is the best design of Daleks we've had.
Yeah, you keep saying Paradigm Daleks, but that's not what fandom calls them.
The Teletubby.
Teletubby, yes.
The Teletubby, okay.
Anyway, and then we get another, it's a straight into camera shot of the Doctor there. Third wall broken. It's very Tom Baker. Third wall broken down there. Then the Dalek, does he start melting? Because there's some.
He's crying.
Is it?
No.
Anyway, so what. That's right.
And then how they get out? All of a sudden they're just out.
Yeah, that's a bit confusing. I think that's probably part of the missing scene that you were referring to before we started recording. Oh, here we go. We should not said that now.
No, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, do good, don't.
Yeah, they don't show them either coming back in the capsule or doing their little bracelet things.
No, indeed. Yes, why
bring
not?
Them back. They don't show any of that.
And that's the bad story. The total skip of that. We spent 5 minutes... getting them shrunk.
No, what we do is spend 5 minutes trying to decipher what you're saying, Kirby.
Yeah, you're really breaking up.
Breaking up is hard to do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we get to keep that bit, but not the bit where actually maybe might have been quite interesting. Ooh. You never know.
Had to get the Doctor's face in the...
Look at the Dalek's hairstyle. Doesn't it look really weird with its sort of blue rinse?
Cords everywhere. Yeah.
So, it's got a proper attitude there where it turns around and looks at them and then goes off. Yeah, go on, yes.
Master, okay. Yeah.
In the hallway.
Master, what then do you suppose happens to Rusty at this point?
Yeah, what does happen to Rusty at this point?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Rusty will probably reappear later in the series.
That's what I'm thinking.
Hmm. Along with Handles.
Well, with Moffat, you never know, because some things just kind of disappear without a thought, and some things...
True. But they do put a lot of stuff in, don't they? To think, oh, that's going to come back, that's going to come back. So as somebody's going to be right and somebody's going to be wrong. But you would have thought that to name a Dalek and not kill it off, it's likely to reappear somewhere along the line. Alicia's going to get herself in deep trouble because she's got the TV on in the other room very loudly. And I can hear it.
I can hear it, yes.
And her mother's upstairs sleeping. And her mother will come down and get very cross. And probably the fact that Alicia's woken her up means that I'll have to talk more quietly and it could put an end to the show.
Everybody has to behave.
Anyway, right, so yeah. Clara again is getting ready to leave. Why? Stay on the TARDIS. You don't have to go to work. I mean, you can have about 3 years in the TARDIS and the doctor can drop you off.
Yeah, but she's got this new boyfriend, possibly.
That they're going to kill off, probably.
I think he's going to end up in the TARDIS. I think he's going to
be... companion?
Yeah, I think he's going to end up in the TARDIS, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's another spoiler.
I didn't like the doctor saying when Clara got there, how do I look? He goes sort of short and roundish, but with a good personality. That's just weird.
Why is it weird?
To insult his companions.
He doesn't know it's an insult. Analytical. He's so analytical. He doesn't. He's not sensitive to human emotion or how people take things.
No, I didn't have a problem with that, Kirby. He's
a
time lord.
I didn't have a problem.
He's the doctor. That was a blatant doctorism.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so the chap, is it Danny, notices that...
Danny Pink, yeah.
Danny
Pink. She changed clothes, and she likes that. Yeah.
Blokes don't normally notice things like that, do they? No. Yeah, 30 seconds, yeah.
Again, there's the doctor being very precise with the TARDIS.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. Maybe there's a significance with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this whole episode, he's been very, as you say, precise with the TARDIS.
So then we get the flashback of of next week. Doesn't Clara look great in that costume?
She always wears red. Have you noticed?
I know. Isn't that Ben Miller in that scene as well, who was in awful television series called Paranormal? I think it was called Paranormal. Mm-hmm. Terrible series. Also, he's very good though, Ben Miller. YouTube him for that was a comedy series called. Worst Week of My Life that he was in. Oh, one of the best comedy series. No canned laughter that you get on the Disney Channel, but genuinely funny stuff. So yeah, YouTube. Worst Week of My Life. Great stuff. Anyway, right, that was it. Doctor Who for this week. Right then, as you lot have already said what you think about it, I'm going to say what I think about it. Right, it's okay. As far as Dalek stories goes, I think this is, for the new era, I'd put this as probably the third best Dalek story for the new...
Totally group. Disagree.
I haven't finished yet, simply because of its originality and the fact that it's just an interesting concept. So obviously there are a couple of things where you think, why would you go and, you know, fix it? That's silly. But I quite liked... It's just a new angle on it, even though it had those similarities to Dalek, but it was similar but not the same, you know. I thought it wasn't. It's obviously not going to be the best story of the series, but if you look at past second episodes of New Who, I'd say this was actually quite a good second episode because there's been some real duffers.
They seem to save, you know, the ones that they don't really want to show us for the second episode,
but this one,
Black Spot.
It was okay. It wasn't boring. I didn't find it boring at all. I found it ticks along quite nicely. It was, I quite enjoyed it. But I'm pretty sure it's not going to be looked on pretty highly as time goes on. But at first viewing, and even watching it this time, it's certainly an episode that I won't object to watching again for when we get to one of those times where we have to watch continuous episodes of Doctor Who. So, yeah, it was okay. As Ben would say, right. Yes, go on then, Kirby. I know you're itching.
A couple of things. First of all, I liked it better the second time I saw it. It just, some of the things clicked better, but a story shouldn't do that.
We can get some WD-40 on that. That should fix that problem.
An interesting thing that someone on YouTube pointed out, sometimes this doctor is very first doctor-ish. And
the fact that he's about 50 odd years old.
And just he's grumpy at times and such.
Oh, right.
And the second story of the first doctor was a Dalek story. And here the second story of this doctor is a Dalek story.
But ironically, the second story of the first doctor story was the Dalek story, which means we're still talking about new Doctor Who 51 years later. However, if this had been the second story of Doctor Who, Doctor Who wouldn't have survived past it.
Go ahead.
But as a sort of a standalone episode of Doctor Who, it's okay. It's not rubbish. It's not brilliant. It's just okay. And you get that with Doctor Who. There's so many Doctor Who stories which are okay. And I quite like the fact that there are Doctor Who stories that are okay. Aren't crap, aren't brilliant, but they're just standalone stories you can sit and watch from time to time that are okay. Yes.
Okay. I will say that it was okay. This was no masterpiece. It had the plot holes.
Masterpiece.
All over
no, it was
the place.
A missy piece.
But I still loved this doctor. He is great.
He is great. Yes.
So
I don't think everybody agrees with you, especially the average viewer that aren't Doctor Who fans. I'm not too sure they agree with you, but yeah, I agree with you.
Oh no! Does that mean that we'll have the cancellation of Doctor Who immediately?
I don't know. I'd love to better persuade Alicia to come in to just tell me her first thoughts of Peter Capaldi, because she doesn't like Doctor Who, so I don't know if she's watched it. We'll find out in a minute. I'll go and ask her. Go on. Mary. Sorry, have you finished, Kirby?
Master, yes.
Okay. Mary.
Well, the big question I had written down was, if Rusty believes the Daleks must be destroyed, then why does he think he must go with the other Daleks? And I think that question was answered. I mean, not in this episode, but apparently in some information that people who've seen leaked episodes can shed on this. So I don't know why they eliminated a piece that shows us why he goes back to the mothership. But I think maybe
we don't know if he goes back to the mothership.
Well, they said you've got to go back, and
oh, true.
Yeah. So why they made him go back, we don't know yet.
Unless they put a bomb inside him.
Yeah, I mean, did he go back to destroy the other Daleks, or did he go back to carry on?
Yeah, but they could have done anything, couldn't they? They could have done anything.
Yeah, they could have done anything with him.
They could have planted some sort of surveillance device on him. I wouldn't have thought the Daleks would allow it back for that particular reason.
Yeah. The other thing that occurs to me is that
Mary knows why I'm making these noises.
Yeah. Well, but if minds were changed about how he's to be utilized later, then there's a reason why they put him back to that to the mothership.
Yes. Yes.
And I know that I had heard or I had read that these episodes were not going to be as fast paced or as crammed full as 11th Doctor episodes, which I, for one, am kind of grateful for, because those were like a speeding train with so much going on that even to this day, there's things, you know, that I'm sure I've missed with Matt Smith's Doctor, but I'm sure they were writing for him because that's the kind of person and kind of Doctor that he was. Whereas Capaldi is a more deliberate and precise kind of Doctor. And I appreciate that the episodes are moving at a bit of a lower pace, or slower pace, I should say. And I love him, but I'm still unable, both the first and this episode, trying to figure out who's doing this writing, because these stories themselves are not that interesting. Like I've said, this is a story in search of a premise. we don't know why anyone would want to fix a Dalek, you know, but I think that they just wanted to get inside a Dalek. So they made up any excuse to do so. But I love Capaldi. I have also noticed that, I'll say it American wise, Capaldi. Clara, who has always been kind of a dim light next to Matt Smith, is now getting a lot of script time. They're writing as much for her as they are for him. And I don't know if this is a deliberate choice, or what, but this is kind of becoming her show as much as it is Capaldi's. So that's what I have to say.
Very good. You said about this being a sort of, you know, you haven't found it much fun the first two episodes of this series. There's always, and they haven't failed so far, even with series six, you know, being split into two halves, they haven't failed so far in having a shining example of the brilliance of Doctor Who. There's been at least one story of every of the seven series prior to this that stands out as being outstanding, and we haven't had that yet.
Sometimes,
and I'm pretty sure we won't get it next week.
Right.
We won't. I'm pretty sure we won't get it next week, but I really am in hope.
I don't blame Capaldi or
I would be so disappointed if during this run of 12 stories episodes that we don't get one of these shining examples of why we watch Doctor Who.
Like I said, we have had one in the last year. I just want a good story.
Yeah, which was Time of the Doctor, which was not Time of the Doctor, Day of the Doctor.
Which one?
Day of the Doctor, sorry. A shining example of why we
the best Doctor Who ever. Well, not
ever, but I mean, it's certainly one of the
best. It's up there in my top five, yes. Mm.
So, yes, thank you very much. Right, we're going to move on to feedback now.
I'm interested to see. I get this impression from that preview that the next week's is going to be trying to insert a little bit of humor.
Yes.
With a dark doctor. This is going to be very interesting.
Yes, it is.
Cracking good stories.
Thank you very much. Are we talking about my novels? The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin and From Troy to Man. Talking of novels and books, there is a new book out. It's just been released, in fact, within the last week or so. It's called 101 Facts About Doctor Who, I think it's called. I'm just going to get some blurb up about it.
Was like a month ago.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It's only just come out.
It's facts and it's not a quiz book, eh?
No, it's facts.
Okay. What you've put out so far have been quiz books.
No, these are facts. I already done the quiz book, so we did a facts book. Right, so I'm just having a look on Amazon as we speak. Oh, look, it's my book. You go onto Amazon and type in 101 Facts About Doctor Who, and my book is the thing that comes up straight away. What a bargain.
There it is. Kindle, all right.
Kindle edition, £2.49. Ooh. Yeah, so you can now buy that, listeners.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks since you announced it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
That was an announcement of a forthcoming publication, not the fact that it has actually been released to the world now. If you go to the Apex Publishing page, you'll see that it's actually available on America's Amazon site.
I'll check.
No, you don't have to check. It's there. Thank you very much. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, that obviously is a sister book to the Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book, which technically isn't the Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book. It's just that my publishers like to insert sort of words to embellish.
Fantastic words to make title look good.
In fact, it's called, when I typed in 101 Facts About, the actual title of the book is 101 Interesting Facts on Doctor Who, which my publishers are trying there to imply that Doctor Who isn't interesting by inserting the word interesting. Yes, Kirby.
I see that it's on Amazon. It is a Kindle edition, but the previous Doctor Who quiz book was not a Kindle edition. It was only available on the Apple format.
It is a Kindle edition. I'm afraid you're wrong there, because I've got to look up the Ultimate Doctor.
Well, maybe it has changed now, but I was disappointed because I could not get a Kindle edition at the time that it came out.
It did come out on Kindle before it came out on, what's that thing called again? iTunes. Right, there it is. Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book. It says Kindle edition, Kirby.
So I'm going to have to buy it again?
Well, it's always been in Kindle. The Amazon one is Kindle. They don't do any other formats. You've gone all quiet now. Amazon and Kindle are married.
I bought it in the Apple format.
Well, you can do
that. And I can only read it on my little tiny iPod.
I think this is one of those very rare examples of you being a bit silly, because when the link that I published on some pages initially when it first came out was the Kindle link, simply because it wasn't available on iTunes. It has simply since been released on iTunes. I don't think that the 101 Interesting Facts About a Doctor Who Book is available on iTunes as yet, but it will be soon. But either way, buy them, because apparently I haven't sold much because I didn't get any royalties at all for my books this year. So I think I feel a bit hard done by the amount of effort I put into them. Anyway, shall we move on to feedback?
Please.
Right then.
Who's first?
Well, you said about earlier on that there was something on the Facebook page, that's a 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, that could be counted as feedback, Mary. What was that then?
Jeff Waddle.
Ah, you don't wrote have. Oh, hang in. On. Well, before you talk about Jeff Waddle, I have actually official feedback from Jeff Waddle.
Really? Hmm. Excellent.
Right, here we go. Like last week's, I enjoyed it very much, but I'm starting to wonder how much I'm enjoying this season, series for Kirby, just due to Capaldi's performance. That's my terrible reading. I was distracted by the way he wrote Capaldi. C-A-P-A-L-D-I-S. There should be an apostrophe in there somewhere. Anyway.
yes.
The big thing we were promised was a change of direction, and let's be honest, apart from the actual portrayal of the Doctor, it hasn't really changed much, has it? Just like
I would disagree. I think the pace has changed.
Okay. Just like the Paternoster gang. How do you spell? How do you actually say that?
Paternoster.
Paternoster. Yes.
But he spelled it P-A-T-E-R. Oh yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
No, sorry, I missed my eyes. It looks like an M, but it's an R and an S. R and an N. Paternoster gang. I do apologise, Jeff. Send in audio feedback, then I don't have to read these things out. Have had more than enough of the Daleks now. Better than a lot of Series 7, sorry, Season 7, as you wrote. Series 7's episodes, or, oh, God's sake, because he's put it in brackets, or Series 7 for Kirby. But that's not saying much. But I am loving Capaldi. Now, the thing is, Jeff, he's Scottish, isn't he? So he would love Capaldi. But he is good anyway. Thanks, Jeff.
Because Jeff is Scottish, I'd love to hear his audible feedback.
Yeah, but if he's Scottish, you won't be able to understand it. So I can understand why he hasn't sent it in.
What he says on Facebook is, see, this is what I don't get. Mm. Bear in mind, I like the new season more than most of last season. I'm one of the few who likes Rings of Akatan. We know that.
Serious.
On rewatching Into the Dalek, Capaldi is again outstanding. But his speech to the Dalek lit up from behind near the end isn't a million miles away from Matt's last season, both in episode 2. So, yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Capaldi gets praised, Smith gets panned. Mm-hmm. I don't get it, is what he says.
Mm. Okay, well done. Just to bite him the nail off. Right, so yes, we've got this bit of feedback. I've just got to turn my speaker on. I hope it's working. So I did leave it on and it's hardly got any battery power left. Oh, look, it is working. Okay, we've got this feedback here. It sounds a bit like this.
Well, good evening, 20 megabytes. It's 7:32 on Sunday evening. I'm sitting here with a glass of Prosecco
barely.
We think you'll be glad to hear, after my drunken ramblings of last week, it's the first drop I've had all day. So anyway, Into the Dalek, or Into Darkness, as we called it last week. Yes, this was probably one of the darkest episodes we have seen in years. And it really just showed, you know, I think I said last week, I vaguely remember this, that this Doctor was going to be a very, very dark Doctor. Now, when it's the way it started with scooping up the lady from the spaceship and her dying and then, you know, threatening him and then saying, no, it's not the way. I think this, we're going to see this. We saw it last week. We've been saying, you know, that's not the question. That's not the question. This is how we're going to do things. He's very much a mental doctor. I mean, given his age, you know, the age of Peter Capaldi himself, you know, 50-odd, he's not going to meet a physical actor. Therefore, what we're going to see is much more of a mental doctor. I think mental can be used in both of the words, mental as in slightly insane, but also mental as he's going to outthink his opponents. You've always seen this with Clara, the way he's treating her. Yeah, there's no flirt, there's no boyfriend-girlfriend, and he's now very much a mentalist projecting himself and herself. So, yes, something's burning. So the way it started, yes, was very good. And then we see him talking himself after being killed, which was rather good. And then, now, did the Dalek recognise him? Are you my doctor? So what does that mean? I mean, I think that is fascinating, that is. Because, you know, we've had it, you're right, you know, I am your soldier, I am your servant. Are you my doctor? Does the Dalek recognise the doctor being who
he
actually
is? No, because he was ill.
Or is he just being his doctor? I think there's a long way to go in that.
No.
And trying to understand a good Dalek. I mean, this was fascinating, because what you really had was a mental battle with the Dalek as well. With the Dalek with himself. Haven't we had a Dalek called Rusky before? It just rings a very, very vague bell with me.
No.
Could well be wrong, but I just seem to think there's something there. We've had that before as well. But I thought it was fascinating the way that the Doctor was talking to the Dalek when he was inside him. It was lovely as well having the Dalek control room sound effects at the very, very beginning. So,
I was going to bring that up.
I thought it was wonderful, that was. But, yes, the good Dalek. The bit at the end with, I am not a good Dalek. You are a good Dalek.
Yeah.
What is the Doctor? Because the Doctor, you know, he's an incoming storm. The Daleks know him as that. But I think they recognise that he's an opponent, he's a really worthy opponent there to fight the Daleks. Now, the story itself, you know, fantastic voyage, everyone spotted that. Can I also throw in Alien and possibly Starship Troopers as well? The girl at the end, the girl who, let's be honest, committed suicide because she knew what was going to happen when she fired the bolt into the roof. And then she came back. And I think when I said, oh, for goodness sake. Sorry, I just got interrupted there. Really Jarve wanted to make a change there, so if there was a slight jump in there, I do apologise for that. But yes, Missy coming back, and I do remember what I said last week, I think Missy's going to be the bad wolf of this episode.
Yeah.
So are we going to get one in every single episode?
Probably.
One coming back every time.
More the Kaverian with this episode.
You've got that arc. I mean, the story itself was self-contained. And next week we've got Robin Hood. Yes, and there's not that kind of archer, Kirby. Come on, you must know the archers. Anyway. Is this going to crop up time and time again? So who is Missy? Please don't say she's the Rani. I get fed with that. The Rani was a two-off character, if you like that expression. We weren't going to say the Rani again. And she's not the Lamana either, so can we drop this, please? This is a completely new character. I think she's the Master either. But I think she's definitely something.
Sure, she's something.
Something really interesting. So, I think Danny Pink as well. Now, the way Danny Pink was introduced, we only saw him briefly. The bit at the beginning, my God, they did that tug at the heartstrings, you know, have you killed anyone who wasn't a soldier? Of course, we don't know that, but now you know. Now you understand about him, don't you? You can see what he really is. You know, he obviously was a soldier. He's killed somebody. He's got a dark past. So, how are we going to do it? Yeah. How's he going to come in? Is he going to be the boyfriend-girlfriend material with Clara? Forgot her name for a second there as well. Yeah, this... Again, what we've got now is we've got strong mental characters, the Doctor himself, we've got Clara, the impossible girl, and then we've got Danny. You know, what is Danny? He's a soldier. The bit the Doctor said at the end, he wouldn't take that girl with him because she was a soldier. How's he going to react to Danny? I think there's a lot to come out in this episode, in this story, in this season. There really is a lot of information there. And I think we're going to be fascinated by it, because we are going to see a thinking Doctor, as I said. Anyway, I'm about to go and have dinner. I've also got tomorrow night, my good lady wife, the lovely Dawn, is going to pour a bucket of cold water over me, because Lee Wells, who does not the 1963 show, has challenged me. I wonder if it's going to happen, but yeah, that's Adam, I've seen you've done it, and Debbie and Alicia, so yes, my turn. Anyway, on that note, you see?
Yes, that was Andy Nunney, everybody. I know you could probably hardly hear him, unusually. Yes, Kirby?
Yeah.
Master.
I can only half hear him,
and I don't know if he brought this. I can't say brought this up. if he mentioned this, but some people have been comparing the Danny Pink and his war PTSD thing with with Watson on Sherlock, because of the way the, and maybe if he does join the TARDIS crew, it'll be kind of a Watson versus the Doctor's being Sherlock. I know, Adam, you've not seen the current Sherlock, but Watson has PTSD and was in the Afghanistan war.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Okay. I rather like the mystery of Missy. I think it's
the
one
mystery
of those things
of Missy.
That, yes, I think it's one of those wonderful things that is going to keep us all on the hook until much deeper into the season.
I doubt that it is the Ronnie, because if it were the Ronnie, they would have had to have put a credit to Pip and Jane.
Not until they actually mention the word Ronnie.
Yeah, until they know what she is.
And if that's the case, if it were the Master, they'd have to put a credit in to who was it? Robert Holmes wrote the first Master story.
Yes, yeah. I think.
And they've already credited Robert Holmes for other.
Are Pip and Jane still alive? Do they do anything other than be very boring on extras on their stories, DVDs?
I think they are. Anyway, should we move on? Got more feedback. We're gonna get not a lot of audio. So I'm gonna play the last bit of audio feedback we've got. Hang on, I suppose. Okay.
Hello, 20 Magmat Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Yay.
Given the controversy about Vastra and Jenny in last week's episode, I wish I had used this clip. I give you breath from my lungs. The Ninth Doctor. Another reason it might be called Deep Breath is that there are 12 episodes without a break this year. Into the Dalek by Ford and Moffat. He'll be the top layer, if you want to say a few words. This story has no Paternoster Gang, no Power Ranger Daleks. The 11th Doctor was miniaturised to fit inside a Tesseract replica of himself in The Wedding of River Song. You will make a good Dalek, as the Dalek said to the 9th Doctor, and we get that again.
Yes, true.
We've had a mad Dalek before. The one who had gone mad rescuing Dalgross. Don't hold your breath when the nanoscaler engages. Last week, Clara had to hold her breath. This week, not. The UK Horror Channel is showing the first Dalek story in the Hartnell era. Two of his companions are teachers from Coal Hill School. The Doctor lacks compassion. When his companions want him to save the Thals, he says, "These Thals are no concern of us." It looks like things are going full circle. I noticed a couple of Star Wars references. The small spaceship pursued by a much larger enemy ship. The heroes jumping down a waste disposal chute. Back now.
I remember that, yes.
Thank you, Ian. That was Ian Kirk. Oh, there's more
feedback. Yes, thank you, Ian.
More feedback. Not audio, but still feedback. This is Debbie Melrose. Apologies, but my spoken feedback had decided to refuse to be sent to you. So, well, she could have brought it round the corner. Is she away at the moment? I think she is.
I think she's on holiday.
Yes. Oh dear, I fear you may not want to read this. I felt this was ground very well trod. I'll say that line again. Shall I get you to read these, Mary? Because I'm useless. Who's eating? Is Robert back?
Oh, several of us are eating. Two of the girls just walked into the room.
No, do it a bit quiet.
And we're eating a bag of crisps.
Well, eat a bag of crisps a bit quieter, please. Anyway, Capaldi
Turn off your mic.
Capaldi was sensational, and I'm not really looking forward to the rest of the series. Oh, sorry, I am really looking forward to the rest of the series. But I.
You want to start from the beginning again?
I heaved a huge sigh when Danny Pink was introduced. We are not breaking new ground here, Mr. Moffat. Now you do not need to prove how good you are. I am sorry to say that you are slipping. I have to read this slowly because otherwise I read it wrong. I watched this with my dad, long-standing fan who remembers the first episode fondly, but he was not into this at all, so I may have to have a jaundiced view on this one. This was a fairly good episode that could have been so much more. I was so excited to see where Moffat would take this, but when the conveniently hot tubes to escape from the larder explained how immaculate they looked afterwards. Yeah, that's what, mm-hmm. yeah, that's what you said. I was yeah. hanging my head in frustration. I adore any episode with Daleks in. I know that some have had more than... I've lost my... Where are we? More than their fill of old Pepper Potts. And it was... Sorry, of the old Pepper Potts. I do apologise, Debbie. And it was interesting to see Missy again, but having another couple of as companions has about done it for TARDIS romance for me. Let's have a grand romp with lots of running and sharp scripts without the tired side story of romance. The classic series had this right. In all, I enjoyed it, but would put a could be better on the report card. Until next time, Debbie. Sent from my iPhone.
Oh, I so agree with her.
Yes,
in absolutely. Fact, when this episode started and it was the ship under fire and oh, that, you know, that talks to my heart is, oh my goodness gracious, this is going to be so much fun. It's battleships and it's outer space and I'm so excited. And then as Debbie says, it kind of devolved into, you know, romantic story and, you know, whatever. It yeah. kind of something we went just from exciting to dull.
Yeah, it's something we just get used to now with modern Who. But I suppose if they're going down the road of removing the romance from the Doctor himself, I suppose it's much better.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, they never concerned themselves with it at all until now.
No.
The new series, you know, if they were not in love with the Doctor, well, then let's bring somebody in that, that's a love interest.
Yeah. But anyway, it's Patrick Bishop yeah. who says, just finished watching the episode, but too late to send in feedback. Well, it's here, Patrick. I liked it a lot, but two things stood out for me. I think it means things. Number one. I hope this Missy in Heaven business doesn't drag out the whole season. This week's appearance came out of left field, i.e. why i.e. why didn't the first soldier who died inside the Dalek go to heaven?
Well, we don't know that he didn't.
Well, I mean, probably that's a good trope. Good point, but obviously they're picking out
the master.
I'm just saying they're picking out specific people. Yes.
First of all, we don't know that he didn't, but it may have been, some people on Facebook have said things like he wasn't really sympathetic and he was just doing things. He did things without orders, whereas the girl who did go to heaven was more of a heroic figure and a martyr. The first guy wasn't a martyr.
I don't think we need to pick it out. I think they probably all go to Missy's heaven.
Yeah. Okay. And number two was the Doctor won't take on a soldier as a companion. Harry Sullivan was a soldier. Well, he was a medical officer, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Technically. But I'll tell you who was a soldier. That would be Jack Harkness. He was very soldier-esque and he was a companion on the TARDIS. Mm-hmm. So that concludes feedback this week, and of course we were alluding to the fact that Mary is mentioning some comments on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, and we haven't welcomed new members to the group for the last couple of weeks. I think that needs to be rectified. Therefore, I need to try and find the
sounds
group.
Painful.
Pardon? Oh, you mean rectum-fied. Right, let's go to the group.
Just like a Doctor who's made some mistakes in his past.
Are you trying to imply that I make mistakes?
Well, no, just this is, you're going to make up for this now.
Right, okay. Right, I've got to try and remember who the last person was now. I know it was somebody whose name is unpronounceable.
Well, I think Ian gives a clue.
Yes, Ian told us some things. Go
he
back
says,
and look
last
at
week,
Ian's.
Adam forgot to welcome anyone. The previous week... The previous week, he welcomed Paul A.T. Wilson and Scott Loftus.
I did, okay, and therefore I shall welcome Adam Sparks, Donna Lang, and J. Homeslice Trill. What a name. Yeah. Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which currently has 382 members, so not far off the 400, only about two of them that actually listen to the show. But thank you very much for joining the group. Yes. I must have posted a thing on there one day. So do you realise this group is for listeners of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast? It might be a good idea if you actually listen to the show. There we go. Right. Okay, so I suppose we better cover another thing we didn't cover last week because you made me forget. It's all gone quiet.
Yes.
Yes.
What was that then?
That's what we're waiting to find out.
I thought you might be able to guess it, as we haven't got a quiz this week. And remember, you're going to have to brush up on this episode for next week's quiz because there's going to be two episodes included in that quiz.
Yeah, okay. Julia still needs to watch this episode. She was too tired last night.
Aww. Right.
She was cranky because she was doing her homework.
Right. Okay, right. Canadian ratings for Deep Breath. 805,000 viewers. Apparently the last episode got 5 million, which doesn't sound good, but in fact it was actually quite good. It was the second most watched programme at that time period on television in Great Britain. So, you know, you've got to appreciate the amount of channels we've got, and there was football on at the time, and X Factor had just started. So Doctor Who did pretty well for episode 2. Mm-hmm. Into the Dalek new images. They were released obviously before the episode itself. Pretty good images, actually. Like you say, the Karen Gillan did a ice bucket challenge, which I haven't seen yet. But these challenges are available on Twitter and Facebook if you look far enough for them. I think they should all actually be sort of linked together so everybody can watch everybody else's ice bucket challenges.
Yeah,
that would be really cool because they are quite good fun to watch. I must admit, when I did my one, I did sort of rather try not to react. And you might notice in the video that Isabella tipped her water firstly over herself and then over my lap. And I was so busy rolling my eyes because she missed my head and it went over my lap that I didn't see Deb's one coming. That's where the shock was.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite prepared for it because I was sort of too busy sort of... rolling my eyes because I had a lap full of water. But yeah, it was a bit of a shock.
I was saying earlier, I think one of the funniest is the one that Benedict Cumberbatch did, where I don't know if it was all a setup that he just acted really well through, or if he really did not know how many people had nominated him, because it's a series of them. Every time he goes through one, it's a shock, and then he changes clothes and you see him again, and he's headed somewhere, and then he gets attacked again, and it's a whole series of them where they're coming at him from all sides every time he changes clothes. So it's very fun to watch.
I'll have to look out for that one. Right, the BBC has released a video highlighting the Doctor Who World Tour, which I haven't got time to watch at the moment, but it's 3 minutes and 1 second long, so that'll be quite interesting to have a look at that. Doctor arrives in Minicraft. There's this awful graphic computer game, which is supposed to be Doctor Who, and very disappointing with the graphics. They're awful. What do you think, Kirby?
I don't know. I haven't. Oh, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Doctor Who comes
now.
To
that's
Minecraft.
That's only on the Xbox version of Minecraft.
It's
correct?
Still, I don't know, but it still looks awful.
I've played Minecraft, but not on Xbox.
Okay, Bill Kerr.
Now, on BBC America, they've been showing a special called Doctor Who World Domination. And it's about the whole tour. It shows them arriving in each one of their locations and how they were received in the theaters. And they even, you know, did a lot of stuff with the fans of the various countries. Mm. It's really kind of fun to watch.
Mm. Actor Bill Kerr, who's an Australian actor, actually, has died at the age of 92. He played Giles Kent in the 1967 Doctor Who story, The Enemy of the World. Good innings, though, 92.
And I'm glad... One thing is, it's nice that he would have seen it recovered.
Yeah, true. Excellent. What else we got? Press details that are you can listen to if they might be spoilerific, so I'm not going to. Rise of the Planet of the Ming-Mongs. What's that all about then?
What is that all about?
There's a free online Ming-Mong fanzine celebrating Doctor Who fandom, apparently.
Huh.
There you go. go. So look out for, if you're interested in it, of course, The Rise of the Planet of the Ming-Mongs. There's a poster out for Into the Dalek, which is not quite as good as the posters we had for Series 7. They were fantastic, weren't they? The cinematic posters we had for last series. Yes, they were, Kirby, so argue with
and
me.
As far as Dalek posters go, I still like my Victory of the Daleks, since I take a picture in front of my poster all the time.
Mm. Lord, don't we know?
Right, the last thing I'm going to talk about is the Deep Breath final UK ratings, and the final figures for the UK transmission of Deep Breath gave the episode a consolidated rating of 9.17 million viewers. So I'd be interested
to
see.
Are we in imminent danger of being cancelled?
Well, only if the final ratings for Into the Dalek were in fact 5 million. I think they're going to go up. Anyway, the final figure is much more accurate. The final figure is a much more accurate one than the initial overnight report. It includes all those who watched the program within 1 week of transmission, apart from the Christmas specials and the Day of the Doctor. This rating was the highest rating since Matt Smith's debut episode of The 11th Hour. The final rating makes Doctor Who the second highest rated program for the week on British television, behind The Great British Bake Off, which had 9.28 million. The Thursday late night repeat of Deep Breath had an overnight audience of 0.12 million viewers, the share of the 5.9% of the total TV audience, while the Friday BBC 3 showing had 0.32 million watching, 1.6% audience share. The AI for Friday repeat was 86. Apparently AI is not very good, isn't it? The cinema screening of Deep Breath took £522,000. Well, it's nearly £523,000, actually, at the UK box office last weekend, making it the eighth highest grossing feature of the weekend in the UK, despite only having one showing. So there we go.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I suppose there's one thing we really should have a look at, because we neglected to last week, didn't we, Mary?
Neglected what?
Sponsors.
Oh, sponsors. Yeah. Do we have sponsors?
I hope so.
Yes, our sponsors are whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
It is. And lavarzi.com.uk.
No.
Well, then don't give it to me to be reading all this.
It's not funny if you don't get to do it. All right. Giant white Dalek soft toy, £49.99. It's a big, cuddly Dalek. Magic wants to get out because he thinks he's going to get a snack, but he's not going to get one just yet. Also, tote bag Van Gogh exploding TARDIS, or Van Gogh. Very nice. Excuse me. Very nice bag. $9.99. If you like the exploding TARDIS Master design on a bag, yes.
Master, yeah. It turned out the girls, when that weird text I got in the middle about an hour ago from the girls, they were at a store that had various things like this, and that was some of the stuff that was on sale.
Oh, okay. Well, you can get them at whowon.co.uk. Funny enough, Kirby.
Yes, you can, and you should do that. I told them I didn't want any of the stuff from where they were.
You can get a David Tennant calendar for 2015. That's $9.99. I think it's inappropriate, really, because he hasn't been the Doctor for two incarnations now. And
he still is one of the most popular.
And
ooh,
I like this. Three Doctors set.
You get
the jelly creatures, the Brigadier and Joe for $24.99. Or the Caves of Androzani set. You get a Perry and a... Who's the other character? Oh, Sharas Jet.
Sharas
Jet. Such a small picture I couldn't see. Yeah, it's great. I don't remember seeing a Sharas Jet.
Posable.
Yeah.
Perry.
Does that mean you can take the top off it? There's also a Claws of Axos set, and that's with the Brigadier with his beret, because obviously the Three Doctors set, he's got his cap on. So that's got an axe on. It's got another Joe in a different outfit. These are great. I love these new sets. It's a shame we haven't got one for the 12th Doctor, though. So those are coming soon products. Those are later products.
That's what? So expensive. Wow.
What?
Yeah.
What, $24.99?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
It's almost three $50 figures. For us.
That's good value. Sorry, Nick from whoone.co, my co-presenters don't quite understand the idea of trying to promote products on a sponsor's website.
Master.
Yes.
The feedback address is still wrong on
whoone.co.uk. I know it is.
Well, it's been wrong for quite some time.
But coming soon to whoone.co.uk on pre-order at $7.99, it's the 2015 Doctor Who Annual. It's got to be worth getting, isn't it? And all those products are available. whoone.co.uk. Now, Mary, the correct URL is www. You don't need the W's. Livazi.
That's correct.
.co.uk. Where you can buy lots of wonderful Doctor Who related products, like the Fourth Doctor's scarves, both varieties, the Dalek scarf that Mary wants and no one's bought her yet, the Seventh Doctor's sort of paisley scarfy tie thing, or is it a cravat? I don't know. It's a scarf, isn't it? I suppose it's a scarf. And of course, the Seventh Doctor's wonderful question mark pullover, which I want and no one's got me yet. Like to point out, you can also buy loads of other non-Doctor Who related clothing, scarves, and in fact there's a chap here wearing a stripy scarf that's very similar to the First Doctor's stripy sort of scarf. I'm surprised that Meninda hasn't sort of taken that to one side and said First Doctor's scarf. I might have to have a word with him because it's very similar. It's got like black and white stripes down it. Don't sound all blank, because if you look at the First Doctor scarf from the figure that I've got up on my, well, it's a lot longer, but it's a similar type scarf. I'm gonna have to tell him that. I might be able to make a bit of sort of royalties on that particular thing. Yeah, so lavazi.co.uk for stuff that's nice. I like the Union Jack scarf myself, actually. It's really good. Right, so anything else? I think it's going to be Monday next week, by the way.
I hope so.
Why do you hope so? Why don't you like Sunday?
Because I don't get enough time to actually watch the episodes and do proper research on them.
Exactly. There's
I was asking Kirby.
Oh.
yes, same thing. It's to be able to research more, and also it's just sometimes I've got things to do on Sundays. There was a strong possibility I wasn't going to be able to be available today.
Yeah, we nearly got it. We nearly got it there, Mary. It was
worth
a try.
Yeah, we nearly did. And the thing is, realize on Sundays we cut off his research capabilities. We have to remember that.
You mean he doesn't talk so much?
Yes. Cuts down on the pedantry.
Yes, it does.
I feel that this week was one of my Boringer blue stabilizer weeks. I don't think I was all that interesting.
Okay, I'm disappointed. It must be easier for people like Reese and Matthew to appear on the show when it's on a Monday, and Debbie to a certain degree, although she couldn't have done Monday this week either. And Ben, I know Ben's more likely to be available on a Monday. I don't know if him being on the show at the same time as Matthew is a particularly good idea, but we can always try these things. And also, it'd be nice for Ben to come on and just give us his opinions on the two episodes part of. So fingers crossed he'll try and get him for
Matthew
next week.
There is no good time.
Well,
no.
Is he back from Walt Disney World?
Who? Yes, he's back. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I should have nominated him for an ice bucket challenge that you probably wouldn't do, actually, but I forgot. Actually, maybe he can take on yours instead, Mary, because we've already done one, haven't you? So maybe you can nominate Ben.
Nominate him.
or maybe Kirby, when you do your one, don't forget to nominate Ben, which he probably wouldn't do it anyway. Anyway, right.
Probably.
No. So, until next week, thank you for listening to the show. And hopefully have more people on next week and more time.
I wonder if Missy's going to be in next week's.
I bet she does. Is. Because it's a Kaverian thing,
isn't
it?
You know.
Madam Kaverian. Then she changed her name to Missy. Anyway.
Yes.
Right. Thank you very much. Tutty bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.